This week, 2 weeks ago, I tried to start working on a lesson, then I got sick, and it's kind of hard to, for me to concentrate when you got the flu and running fever and all that. So this past week, I looked over some things and I get to thinking about my life and everybody's life really and kind of the Christian walk and how you live your life, and the difference between being a Christian and being a non-believer, and kind of what the Christian life has to offer versus what the non-believer life, non-believer's life, however you want to say that, has to offer. Kind of think of what, I think of how my life would be different if I weren't a Christian. Obviously, I wouldn't be up here preaching. I probably wouldn't be in this congregation. I probably wouldn't be married to Caressa. None of you would probably know me. You know, I think, well, what would I do if I wasn't a Christian? Would I be living a good life? Would I be a good person? Would I be a mean person? Would I be in prison? Where would I be? So this morning, as you can see, we're going to discuss what the Christian life and the non-believer life have to offer. So it's kind of a contrast between the two of them. Now we're going to start out. I thought that a good place to start discussing this would be in John chapter 8. I believe these two verses give us a good idea of the difference between what the life of a Christian and the life of a non-believer has to offer. So we'll look at John 8:36. It says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Obviously, this is Jesus speaking, and he's referring to himself and the freedom he offers from the bondage of sin. Jesus wants to set you free from sin and Satan by offering you eternal life in heaven. Let's back up a couple of verses and let's look at John 8, verse 34. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." Well, simply put, whoever commits sin is a servant to that sin. And we all sin because none of us are perfect. But as Christians, we've been forgiven of our sins. A non-believer, someone who has not been baptized for the remission of their sins, has not been forgiven of their sins. They're still a slave to their sins. And so there's a difference there. There's a difference in being a Christian and being forgiven of your sins and being a non-believer and not being forgiven of those sins. So this morning, basically what we're looking at, if you look at the Christian and the non-believer, we're basically looking at what Jesus has to offer versus what Satan has to offer. That's really the difference. Jesus wants to set us free from sin, but Satan wants to keep us bound to sin. The Christian life offers us truth through Jesus and His Word. In John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32, Jesus says, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now here Jesus plainly states, if you continue in His commandments and His doctrine, then you are His disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What does the truth set you free from? Well, it sets you free from sin, its slavery, and eternal damnation. Well, what truth is Jesus talking about here? We'll look at John chapter 14, verse 6, and we'll answer that question. Here Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the truth. And it's only through Him, by repenting, believing, and being baptized for the remission of sins, that you can reach the Father. Now, a non-believer, someone who is not in God's Word and seeking His truths, has a good chance of getting caught up in Satan's lies and his deceitfulness. We'll look at John chapter 8, verse 44. What we want to get from this is what Jesus has to say about the devil, which is Satan. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth." because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. In this passage, Jesus refers to Satan as a murderer and a liar and states that there's no truth in him. Satan is a liar and all he offers are lies. Living life as a non-believer can lead you down a road of lies, regret, and sorrow. Next, we're going to look at hope and no hope. Here we go. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. For the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. So what's laid up for us in heaven? Simple. It's eternal life. Jesus gives us hope of eternal life in heaven. Back up one. In Titus chapter 1 verse 2 it says, in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God has made a promise to us. If we repent, believe, and are baptized, then we'll have hope for eternal life. But essentially our hope for eternal life lies in Jesus Christ, because if he hadn't died on the cross for our sins, God's promise could not have been fulfilled and we would have no hope. So as Christians, we have hope. If someone continues to live their life as a non-believer, then they have no hope. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, this is referring to before they knew Christ, or they knew of Christ. They didn't know of God's promise or the hope of eternal life. They were without Christ, and without Christ there is no hope. We'll look at Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 12. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Jeremiah was a prophet, and here he's been trying to get these people to turn from their sinful ways and follow Christ, but they just flat out refuse. They say they're not going to. They say there's no hope for them, and they have decided to follow their evil hearts and basically just do whatever they want. And this is exactly what Satan wants the non-believer to do. He wants them to follow their evil hearts and do whatever they want. He wants you to believe that you have no hope in Christ and to give up on yourself and Christ. Well, let's look at a Christian's family and a non-believer's family. Now, I'm not talking about our biological families. I'm not talking about your parents or your kids or your wife or husband, whatever it may be. I'm talking about your spiritual and eternal family. Well, let's look at a few verses in regards to a Christian's family. Titus chapter 3 verse 7. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And the next one is Mark 3 verse 35. Jesus says, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. If we have hope for eternal life, if we've been saved and are Christians, if we're doing the will of God, then we're no strangers. We're fellow citizens in the Lord's family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We get to spend eternity together. We'll see those that have gone on before us. Now for non-believers, for those that never make the decision to become a Christian, this is going to sound kind of harsh. You might as well get used to the idea of calling Satan dad. Look at John chapter 8 verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. If you die before you repent, believe, and are baptized for the remission of sins, you inherit Satan as your father. A father who is a murderer, who is not part of the truth because there is no truth in him. Satan is a father who is deceiving, who speaks nothing but lies, and who is father of all things sinful. But really, to really grasp the difference between God's family and Satan's family, because that's basically what we're looking at here. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom of the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered, and fed Thee, or thirsty, and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger, and took Thee in, or naked, and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick, or in prison, and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and you gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me not in. Naked, and you clothed Me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. In this passage, Jesus compares Himself to a shepherd, Christians to sheep, and the wicked to goats. Now on Judgment Day, Christ will separate the Christians from the wicked. Christians, being God's family, will be at His right side, and the wicked, being Satan's family, will be at His left side. God's family will inherit the kingdom of God and eternal life. Satan's family will be cast into everlasting fire and punishment. But whose family do you belong to today? And next we're going to look at rest versus and no rest. So let's start in Matthew chapter 11. We'll read verses 28 through 29. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You ever stayed up at night and couldn't go to sleep because you had something on your mind? Couldn't figure out a solution to a problem? I find it helps to go to Jesus. Lay that burden on Him and He'll help you make it through it. I sleep better at night. And usually things end up working out the way that they're supposed to work out. Or He gives me a solution to my problem. But He doesn't just give a physical rest to help you sleep at night, but He gives eternal rest for our souls. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, it says, And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, see the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. As Christians, after we die, we get to rest from our labors. We'll have eternal rest from sin, temptation, sorrow, persecution, etc. We have rest with Christ, but there is no rest with Satan. But we're going to stay there in Revelation chapter 14, go up a couple of verses to 11. Here he says, it says, "And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." I don't think I can handle that. I like to sleep, and I'll even like to rest a little bit when I get home from work, take a nap. I can't imagine not having rest day or night for eternity. There's no rest in hell, and eternity isn't just a few minutes. It's not just a few days. It's not just a few months or a few years. It's eternity. It's forever. It lasts forever. In Isaiah chapter 48 verse 22, it says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." If you're not a Christian, if you're a non-believer, you will never find permanent peace, enjoyment, or prosperity. You will be miserable for eternity. Now this is going to bring us towards the end here. My last slide. And this brings us to the end of what the life of a Christian has to offer and what the life of an unbeliever has to offer. And I choose to do these last two because that's what matters most. The ones that have the most impact in our lives and the ones that determine where we'll be spending eternity. So let's start with salvation, which is what you have as a Christian. We'll look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 through 10. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." God's plan for us has always been to obtain salvation through Christ and for us to live with Him in heaven for eternity. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." Jesus was born on earth amongst men to live a perfect life free from sin and become a living sacrifice by dying on the cross for our sins so that we might obtain salvation for eternal life. Now let's turn to a very familiar verse, John chapter 3 verse 16. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loves us so much that He gave His only Son so that we could have eternal life. Without Christ dying for our sins, we would not have salvation. And salvation through Christ is the very thing that sets us free from the bondage of sin. Salvation through Christ gives us truth, hope, family, and rest for eternity. The life of a non-believer, on the other hand, offers us a whole different eternity. Eternal damnation. A damnation, simply defined, is everlasting divine punishment. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Who wants to be thrown in a lake of fire? I like warm water. I don't like cold water, but I sure don't want to be thrown in a lake of fire. But that's exactly where you'll end up if you follow Jesus and His laws. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 through 15. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You know, we could sit here and spend a good amount of time really dissecting these verses. But what's important to notice is that if your name isn't in the book of life, meaning you haven't received salvation through Christ by repenting, believing, and being baptized for the remission of sins, then on judgment day, you will be cast into a lake of fire, which is eternal damnation in hell. Now let this sink in a little bit. We're going to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. I'm sure that everyone in here has been punished for something, undoubtedly. Something that they did they weren't supposed to do. Your parents told you not to do it and you did it anyway. And if they were anything like the punishment that I got, I'm sure that it hurt and it was painful and you probably felt it for at least a few days. But as much as that, as those punishments may have hurt, I assure you that they don't come anywhere close to comparing to the punishment we just read about in 2 Thessalonians. This punishment is for eternity, not just a few days, a week, or even a month. Like I said earlier, it's forever. Eternity is forever, never ending, never ending. That means you spend eternity in hell after death. You know, life isn't a video game. There's no reset button. There's no, oh, I'm sorry, I was going to do that tomorrow. Please give me another chance. It doesn't work like that. That's not how it happens. This is real life, and Satan would like nothing more than to add you to his family of liars that have no hope, no rest, and he wants you to share eternal damnation with him in hell. I'm going to pull a Sean. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and get your hymnals out, because I want you to hear what this last part that we're going to talk about. In closing, I'd like for us to look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus gives you two choices to choose from, and both have eternal consequences. Two roads in which you can travel, both leading to different lives, which we have discussed this morning. One leads to Christ, joy, happiness, love, forgiveness, hope, truth, and eternal life. The other road leads to Satan. His lies, his deceitfulness, left feeling empty inside, you're left feeling alone. No hope, no joy, no rest, and eternal damnation. There's no middle ground, there's no other option, no other way to turn. It's either the straight and narrow, which is Christ, or the wide and broad, which is Satan. It's your choice. I've made my choice. I choose Christ and eternal life with Him forever in heaven. How about you?